You know, that has always been my favorite. One year, the teacher asked, said, what song? And I shouted out, Little Drummer Boy. All right, you get to lead it. All I know is rum-pa-pum-pum. Praise God. You know, if you listen to that song, folks, you know, it's more than just a Christmas carol. It's about giving what you've got. You know, everybody, oh, Lord, if I had a Cadillac, I'd give you a Cadillac. Well, he ain't asking you for a Cadillac. He's asking you for what you got. Ain't asking you for what you ain't got. Well, Lord, this is the only talent I've got. Use it. Use the talent he's given you. So many people are worried about trying to one-up somebody else. I don't know if I'll get into it today with the message, but in my notes, if not for this week, next week, is going to be about something like that. And I'm still talking about love. But I want you to understand, you may not be able to be everything to everybody, but you can be something to somebody. Don't limit yourself by what you don't have. Look around and say, God, you've given me so much. I have this. Well, if I give this, Lord, then I won't have that. I told you before, I had just got $50 in my pocket, and God told me to sow it. And that man would come to church, and that man did. He gave his life to the Lord. Rededicated his life to the Lord. Don't ever think that what you got isn't enough. It's more than enough with God. Remember, a couple little fish, a couple little pieces of bread, fed 5,000 men. Think about it. That's doing something to feed one man. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, that you are a good God. Father, that you take what we have and you multiply it. And now, Father, we present to you what we have. Father, and I ask, and I stand on your word that says if we do, you will multiply it. Father, we bring our tithes. They are holy. They are separate. They are redeeming the 90. Father, bless them. And Father, the seed that is sown in offerings, Lord, bless it. Pressed down, shaken together. Father, I thank you and praise you for the many blessings you're bringing into your people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Right, yep. And the super kids are dismissed. You need your glasses. Well, I don't know about you, but last night's championship game was a championship game. It's what I would expect. I mean, I'll be honest with you, though. The first half, you can ask Angela, I was yelling at the TV. Hey, how about waking up, guys? Show up. But if Wisconsin had showed up and got trounced, what kind of championship game is that? They showed up to play, and that's what I like. Just like Michigan showed up to play. But Ohio State grabbed another gear, and away they went. But I wanted to point out something. I pointed it out to Angela. And I've been watching Justin Fields and a few of the others through the season. But last night, the camera angle had more. I said, look, I don't care what your denomination is. Watch. As them guys, most of the team stopped and knelt and prayed. Now, I ain't saying that God's letting them win because they're praying. Because don't you believe that there's some believers on the Wisconsin team. But what I want to point out is they stopped. They didn't care what anybody thought. And it was just, it's just so good. We got to remember to give God thanks. And so he said, help me to win, Lord, help me to win. Well, the other guy's saying, help me to win. So who's God? He's torn, right? No, you pray, Lord, help me do my best. That's how you pray in those situations. I woke up this morning and got just a little more frog. It clears up and then it comes back. And so I guess I'll be going to see my physician, the great physician, as well as the other one too. Don't get me wrong. There was one time I remember being in a church where they started teaching that doctors were evil. No. You go to the great physician, but you can go to the doctor. Because that was the reason why my mom and dad didn't take me to the doctor for 2 weeks. I had a broken leg. Oh, he's faking. No, I'm not faking. Praise God. Well, last week, we're still in 1 Corinthians. And I'll be honest with you, I'm amazed sometimes at God. When I sit down and I begin studying the words and stuff, and trying to bring this stuff around, not just from the King James to the New King James, which I preach out of, because sometimes they just grab the broadest word they can use in our language. Because we all know that one sounding word may have a different spelling, or the same spelling of the word may have different meanings. And so we have to know exactly what was input, was being conveyed to that. And some of these, as I've gotten in there, and I'm like, Lord, this just go, just boom, scriptures just start popping into my head about the exact definition, not from the Bible, but from Merriam's dictionary. I'm like, that's just the English translation and definition of the word written by secular. And there are scriptures for everything about that. So, but last week we were talking about envy. Love is not envious, jealous. We talked about Cain and Abel and how when we let things go unchecked, sin is waiting at the door, just waiting for us to step into it. It's a trap. When you start feeling jealous about somebody, folks, just know this, it's a trap. Well, I wish I had what they had. Are you willing to pay the price they paid? I just read a story this morning on the Vanderbilts, Cornelius Vanderbilt and the whole family. I did not realize Anderson Cooper is a Vanderbilt. CNN. His mother is Gloria Vanderbilt, the gene fashion. But they're the only ones really with any money left. But it was interesting, though. How what got one person through, they started changing. Well, I want to do this, and they started spending more money, and then eventually they're broke, most of them. And but they start, I want what somebody else has. They were probably the richest people on the planet at the time. But it wasn't enough. And then, but not only that, they didn't keep things going. They just started spending more and look at me type deal. Well, they look good. And you know what the sad part is? They were never accepted. They weren't accepted as the creme de la creme because they were new money. Their money was under 100 years old. Who cares? I got $100 million in 1870. That's $700 million today. So, who cares? So we get envious about people, and we start letting things happen. And the Bible tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is death. If Cain had yielded to God instead of his anger, he would have ruled over sin that day. Just think about it for 1 minute. God told him, he said, if you are not careful, sin will have its way with you, but you should rule over sin. He didn't. Anger ruled, and Abel's death was the result. Our first recorded murder. God, we know this rest. God marked him, and don't go, well, here's one thing that just baffled me for years. People would look at people with birthmarks. You got the mark of Cain. What side of the stupid bed did you wake up on today? It's a birthmark. It's not the mark of Cain. The mark of Cain was specific to Cain, not to his descendants, to Cain. But he was punished. And God didn't want to kill him. So now we go on. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting what verse did I start you at back here? Four. The blue. That's okay. Well, go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 while she's bringing those up for you. In verse 5, it says, love does not behave rudely. Let me back up. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And I think I went through 5 on there. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. We looked at love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Now we're on love does not parade itself. The word literally means to brag. Brag about yourself. Brag of what you're doing. It's real easy. And by the way, that's not just each other. Luke chapter 18. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 13. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Anybody ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now let's stop and think. Look at this for just 1 minute. I thank you that I'm not as other men. And he starts listing down extortioners, unjust, and adulterers. He's assuming everybody he's looking at is one of these three things. Remember the prodigal son, the parable. The other son. Nowhere is it mentioned what the son did. Except the accusation of the other son. Your son has went and spent all his money with prostitutes and drinking and drugs. He brought accusations against him. And this is what the Pharisee, this is a man of God. Or even as this tax collector, he's looking at the dude. Why would you think he'd even mention as this tax collector? Because the guy was within earshot. The guy could hear him. Next. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off. Now it says afar off, but it could have been this way. Obviously, I believe he said it so he could hear it. Afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man was more just. This man was justified in God's eyes. The other man was what? Parading himself. How do we know he's parading? Lord, I fast twice a week. I give offerings. I tithe of all that I have. You know, the other night we had a parade. It was it's a fun parade. I love it. We don't do that parade to show the world what we do. Yeah, we put a banner on the back that tells how many boxes were collected. This is the Morrow County Parade. Morrow County has a right to know what they put in. 1,693 boxes. That's a lot of boxes for a little county. I want to point out something. That whole shaft, that's another thing. It's why it's there. The county stepped up. Now, but we don't parade ourselves. Hey, we're at his feet, Christian Center. Y'all sinners need to come to Jesus. Forget the other churches. Come to our church. I want people to be where God planted them, where they're supposed to be. If I have a thumb, I don't need another thumb. There's somebody who needs you. They need that thumb. If you got two thumbs, you're a freak. Huh? Well, you got two, but one on each hand. Yes, I get that. If you got two thumbs on the same hand, you're a freak. Let me clarify for the anatomically challenged. I guess this could be like left Twix and right Twix. They look the same, but they're different. But anyhow, love does not brag about its exploits, does not point out the better situation they are in than another. Oh, Lord, I thank God I'm not in your shoes. My man, I'm not. Your time's coming. It'll be there. Especially now that you've opened your pie hole. You start running your mouth, what happens? God says, I hear this. I love you. Therefore, I will correct you. Love is not puffed up. Fusio. It means to inflate, blow up, puff up. Y'all ever seen, this is always an amazing thing, you boxers, or even just guys going to fight. I remember in school, guys, they're going to be fighting over a girl. Chest comes out, shoulders go back. They start strutting around like roosters. They puff themselves up. The puffer fish. I've actually seen them in the wild. Swam with them. And they puff up to make themselves more formable. And it makes their spines solid. They don't lay down. It's something that mankind and even the animal kingdom does. They get puffed up to make themselves look bigger than they are. During rut, and I know bulls do this, goats do this, deer do this. When they are charged up with hormones, a deer's neck will swell up and be huge. And yeah, Harold got to see that up close and personal Friday. They will get bulky and meaty. It's the same muscle, it's just now inflated. It's used in the New Testament of pride or self-conceit. It would include inflating our individual importance in the kingdom of God. Or in any given situation, to be honest with you. And here's what I mean. I am the elect of the Lord. He can't accomplish his will without me. I've heard people say garbage like that. Like I said, I've been around for a few years on this. And I've heard people talk this braggadocious talk. God couldn't do this. Do you know I'm not the first choice for this church? I'm the third. Whatever reasons the others aren't here, that's not my problem. But when we get to think, and if I get to thinking that God can't do this without me, I'm ready for the fall. That's why the Bible tells us. A haughty spirit will lead us there. In Numbers, we don't have to go there, 14, 11 through 12, God was telling Moses, God was ticked at the children of Israel. You got to understand, he gets a little hot under the collar. Especially when they won't trust him and believe him. And God said, I will destroy this entire congregation of people. And I will raise up a new line from you. You need to understand something, folks. We've always looked at, we've watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, right? We look at Moses, he's a young man. Moses was 40 when he went to the desert and was gone 40 years. That puts him at 80. And then he's still got to come back. No wonder he said, Lord, isn't there somebody else? The man's 80. He's like, I don't want to go back and deal with this. I know what they were like when I was 40 in there. But he went anyway. So then he still had all the time that they roamed. Moses was an old man. Think about that for a minute. And by the way, his sons were not with him. They went back with their mother, his wife, and his father-in-law. Back to Midian. God was going to raise up an entire new generation just from that man. God's will will absolutely be fulfilled, regardless of what you, how important you think or how important you don't think you are. He will use who he will. As I've said, I'm not the first choice. I'm okay with that. I'm a worm, and I'm okay with that. You got to know VeggieTales. I'm okay with knowing that I wasn't God's first choice, but that God still is going to use me. You are one of 7.5 billion people on the planet. Do you seriously think God can't use anybody else to do what you do? There's somebody else always. And they will be ready when you, and it's not drop the ball, it's you just walk away from it. And that has been the situation in both cases. That's why I'm number three. The other two threw it away. Said, Mount Gilead's not worth it. We'll go elsewhere. Do you know why God brought us back? It wasn't because we were unhappy at our church. I loved my church. I learned so much there. I learned about forgiveness there. I learned I can't be a vigilante. I believed in vigilante justice back then. Come from a long line of it. It was bred deep. But my pastor helped me. I loved those people. They took us in as their family. God said, go back to Morrow County. Morrow, however you want to say it, I don't care. Go back to here. God, I grew up there. Isn't there someplace else I can, we can go? Right back here. God knew exactly what he was doing the entire time. God was making preparations. God was beginning to change me down there. And the 10 years, not wasn't quite 10 years, 6 years. The 6 years that we were back, God continued to work in me to change me and getting me ready. Because I didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody really saw it coming. And then it happened. If God chooses you for a task, no matter how menial or great seemingly it is, do it. All are important. But don't ever think, God can't do without me. He's God. He can create another being right out of the dirt, out of the parking lot, and make another one. He did it once, he can do it again. Well, God doesn't do that. How do you know? I'm just saying. 2 Timothy 2:20 tells us there are different vessels for different jobs. Now, Paul's trying to tell Timothy about different, it's not going to come up, that in a household, you have vessels for honor. You know, your the dish you serve the roast pork on, or your bedpan. Which is more important? Just depends. They're both important. But this one's used for what we, quote, call unhonorable situations. The other one is honorable. We feast. We get to eat. We get to feed the body. But we all know that if the body doesn't get rid of the solids that it cannot process, you're in trouble. We'll go down that road again here in a minute. The body has different members. The goal is for the success of the body, not the individual member. If one member feels pain, the whole of the body is experiencing it. We'll look at that here in a minute. You'll find out that in 1 Corinthians 12. We are members of the body of Christ. All of us, every church is a member of the body of Christ. I do believe there's some that are starting to step into error and they're starting to let full-on blatant sin. They're letting things that Jesus Christ himself preached against, it's in the pulpit. It's running rampant through the church. You got affairs going on. You got people thinking abortion is okay. I'll say it once and I'll say it twice and I'll say it the third time. If you think abortion is okay, you are not a Christian. You are breaking the heart of God the Father to think that it's okay to murder a baby, but yet you'll stand in line and picket for your puppy. I got news for you. Don't mean to hurt anybody's precious feelings here. A dog is a dog. Look at how God talks about a dog. It returns to its vomit. It's a nasty, vile creature. Trust me, when my dog gets in my face, he's a nasty creature. To get that breath, you go away. Don't know what you found, but it is bad. I need you to understand that. This is what's happening today. You think I'm kidding? Look at your advertisements on the TV. ASPCA, which, by the way, they want all of your animals. They don't want you to have pets before you go thinking that that's a good thing. They don't want farmers to have animals. They should all roam free and be diseased. You need to pay attention to what you're getting involved with. It's not just a humane society. When we start worshiping animals, we got a problem, folks. We might as well put a golden calf up here. I didn't mean to get off on that rabbit trail. I just want people to understand, when we think it's okay to abort a baby, but yet we'll send armies in to take a dog and spend thousands of dollars trying to resuscitate this dog, only to find that the animal should have been put down. There's a problem. Huge problem. And all members suffer alike. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members are honored with it. You know, no matter what you've done, most of us in here at one time or another, we've played a sport or a game, right? Whether you played a sport, you used your legs if you ran. You may have used your arms if you threw a football or a javelin or a basketball, but you still used the other part of your body. But what is honored during that time? Back then, they used to put a crown on the champions. They would put it on their head. The head receives all the honor. Your mind, if you just defeated somebody in a game of cards or a game of chutes and ladders, I don't care. You, in your mind, are glorified. I'm the champion. I win. Right? You don't think, I know what my mind tells me, and I don't win board games that often. I won. I'm special. But my hand was the one that had to move the thing. My hand was the one that had to roll the dice. The whole body took part of it. My feet got me up and went to the kitchen and got a snack and came back so that I could concentrate. See, the whole body had something to do with it, didn't it? All right, 1 Corinthians 12:23 through 25. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What's more important, my hand or my bowels? They're both vitally important to you. Now, due to today, we can figure out things to work without a hand, but you now without a hand, you will never ride a motorcycle again. They take part of your bowels out, you get to carry a bag with you. Every part of your body is important. If it's not functioning right, the rest of the body suffers for it. Doesn't matter. You know, when I broke my back, okay, one little bone this big around broke. Little crack. Well, not crack. One bone out of all those in my spine, out of all the bones in my body. But that one bone shut the entire body down. And no matter what it is, the body suffers. If you've overcome, you're jubilant, your entire body is excited. You know, we watched Justin play basketball Saturday. And, you know, the other night they got beat bad. They learned from it. And they came back and they beat the other team that was they were up against Saturday. And the difference in my body was polar opposites. I was so excited. The other night, oh man, just a bummer. But you see, folks, the body of Christ has got to understand this is about the body of Christ. This is why I think it is appalling when preachers get up and they say, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want. You are a reflection on me. No matter if you're not my pastor, you are a preacher. And what you say and what you do is a reflection on the body of Christ. We cannot have people in the body of Christ running around doing what they want as opposed to what God has declared that we should do. We should be loving other people. We should be taking a firm stand. We should be, listen, y'all know this. This isn't even news to you. The previous election for 8 years was lost because the church wouldn't break its butt off of the seat. They couldn't be gotten out of the house of God to go vote. Let's put it this way. There's several of us in here who fought for that right. Do it. Sorry. I'm getting tired of Christians. Christians. It don't matter. Yes, it does. Do you not remember the 2000 election? Come on. It came down to hanging chads. It matters. You've got to get out and vote. That's how you let your voice be known. Well, I'm going to pick it. You'd rather pick it than vote? Seriously. If you vote, you don't have... If you pray when you vote, how about pray? Quit going with what I feel. I feel this party's... You got to ask God. You know, God has showed me the last 3 elections before they happened. And when President Trump decided to, all I got was a word that he might be considering running. I told her, I said, he's going to win. Guess what? God showed me in a dream the week before that Obama was going to be president. I spoke that to another man. He said I was listening to the demons in hell. He and I haven't talked since. If I'm listening to the demons and they told me the truth, then who are you listening to? You can't call the things that God, that one was ordained, but you still needed to get out and vote. They said the evangelical vote was absent. And you wonder why abortion is running rampant. Why we have homosexuality running rampant as normal. And I told you years ago when this stuff started, it's on recorded somewhere, it wouldn't be long before they would make bestiality legal. Pedophilia legal. They are working on both of those things right now. They're trying to cut and divide the words so that they know how to get it worded just right. I mean, come on. This is because the church is more worried about what jet we're going to buy next month. What great crusade we're going to start. How about getting out in the streets? How about going to your grocery stores? The restaurants. You know, Christians are the cheapest tippers. Yeah, I ain't giving you more than I give God. You don't give God the 10% to begin with. I mean, come on. We're talking about the body of Christ. When one preacher falls because he decided I didn't like my wife anymore and I want to marry this blonde over here. And Jesus said that if you just divorce your wife and you marry another, you're now committing adultery. Well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm a preacher. It applies tenfold more. There is more examination up this way, and there should be. The leadership should be held. That's why when Pat Robertson said that we should go down and execute or to send in a Marine team to take out old Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, I shuddered that day. One, why are Christians out there saying we need to go kill a country, a leader of a country? Do you forget that God can take care of things? By the way, let's flip forward. The man died of cancer. He was perfectly healthy when he said those things. And then, poof, he's gone. He even had himself elected dictator for life. Do you not think your God can do things? We have got to start living holier lives. Like I said, a week ago, I had a major breakdown. I let my flesh start running, and I had to put the brakes on it. But we got preachers acting like that in the public, doing things that they shouldn't be doing, saying things they shouldn't be saying, out of frustration. I get what Pat Robertson was saying, but he should have never said it. And I only bring that up because he said it publicly. When we will begin to focus now on what God has called us to do. We got what this body was called to do. This body wasn't called to bring a food pantry about. A clothes closet. The number of people that keep telling me, oh, you should turn that room over there into a clothes closet. We had the food pantry and the clothes closet in the basement of our home because somebody felt that. And everything went bad. Shelves, we had food, we had clothes, and we helped a few people, but that was it. But we lost a third of our basement. And then when it was all said and done, the moisture in the basement ruined everything. So it all had to go to the dump anyhow. There are ministries who have this stuff going. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work in conjunction with them. My left hand works in conjunction with my right hand, not opposing it. But Jesus even said, and if it does, cut it off. Think about that for a minute. He can grow a new arm back. That's why I said, don't think yourself more important. Well, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm going to tell you right now, God has showed me what this body's purpose is. And it's to grow individually, but the importance of this. I can tell you right now, and this is why I don't tell you this so that you think, well, we're just doing all this great stuff. Without this particular body, God showed me that our purpose is we are a covering for this community, for this county. Not that the devil can't get in, he can't run roughshod. We oppose what the devil is trying to do. Even spirit-filled churches don't really believe in the spirit. We're spirit-filled. Now, I don't believe in abuse of the gifts. I grew up through that. I'm done with that garbage. You can take abuse and go away. I'm done with it. But I know there's power in praying in tongues. But if I'm trying to preach a message to you and I do it in tongues and you don't understand it, it was moot. I can speak a little Japanese, very little. I can speak some Tagalog, which is Filipino, a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of Ukrainian, a few words in German. But if I start saying all that to you, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there are churches that that's their entire service. So what happens if the guy that's uninformed comes in? He doesn't know. He's lost. Paul said, I'd rather preach that message with 10,000 words than say one with a bunch of tongues and the guy not get it. Church has to realize we are responsible for each other. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. And don't think that, well, we're just little podunk Morrow County here. Nobody's ever going to pay attention to us. All it takes is one little story and you're national news. You're going around the world. Let me tell you how it does work. In 1990, I believe it was, I picked up the magazine down at the USO. I believe it might have been Marine Times or Navy Times, one of the two. It was one of the magazines they put out in there. No, it was the Stars and Stripes. It was the Stars and Stripes newspaper. It's where you get news from all around the world. And a little tiny article this big said, Mount Gilead, Ohio. I'm in Japan. And it was when the guy hit the buggy with the kids on 314. Don't think that what happens here won't get out. It will get out. Anyhow. God has established that all parts are needed equally. I don't need my appendix. You know, that little thing looks like a finger just hangs down there. Well, yeah, you do need it. Or God wouldn't have put it there. We just don't use it as often. And by the way, you can ask Rob, when it gets sick, it'll darn near try to kill you, won't it? But God built something around his, protected him. Don't think that God can't do stuff. We know that in the natural, when sight is lost, sometimes one or more of the other senses will grow stronger to aid the body in navigation through life. Sometimes people that lose their sight, their hearing gets so, they can hear a mouse in the other room. And I'm not talking one chewing through the wall. When it went squeak. When other parts of your body start failing, sometimes other things kick in. Whatever part of the body you are operating in, do it with your best, no matter how important you think you are. You need to understand, you are important. You are vitally important. God didn't put you there for no reason. If you don't know your reason, then you're lost. You can watch that football game last night. Y'all remember when the quarterback for Wisconsin ran the touchdown in? Y'all remember the big hole he walked through? I mean, it was as wide as this room. He went right up downtown. Why? Why did he do that? Because the running back went running in front of him, pretended he caught the ball, and everybody focused on him. And he was a fake. He was vitally important to that touchdown. Because when he did that, you could watch the Ohio State, everybody went that way. And right there, he walked. He just went through untouched. This is number one. Start acting like it. But they fell for a fake. That man, that running back, was crucial to that play. I'm going to start on rudely. I don't know if I gave enough scriptures on this. Love does not behave rudely. The King James doesn't really give a word because it said that there are actually several words that describe what it's talking about, but the word the King James uses is unseemly. It means not proper, unbecoming. And unbecoming is not appropriate or suited to one's appearance, status, character, unattractive, or indecorous, means lacking decorum, and decorum is polite behavior. Love, simply put, is not rude. Some of the rudest people I've met go to church. Some of the nicest people I've met go to church. Some of the nicest people I've met have never put a foot in a church. Because they understand you don't treat people bad. But rude, since that is the definition in your New King James. Oh yeah, there it is. Does not behave rudely. Rude, rough or crude in form or workmanship. Barbarous, ignorant. Lacking refinement, coarse, vulgar. Discourteous, unmannerly. Rough, violent, harsh, like a rude awakening. Harsh in sound, not musical. Having or showing little skill or development, primitive. Now, don't sit there and try to figure out who in the church is acting like that. I did not put this on the thing, but Psalm 139:14. And Carsey, if you could put Malachi 3, 2 through 3 up there for me. But Psalm 139:14 says, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fine works of craftsmanship. We are not rudely made. We are not without, we are not rough or crude in form or workmanship. God created us wonderfully and fearfully. You ever see an old Bugatti going down the road? You won't ever see one going down the road, I can promise you. They were million-dollar cars in the 70s. They're that rare. But the styling, they're just beautiful. They're fine. The lines flow. Unlike today's cars. I'm just going to kind of bash them there a little bit. There's no real style. After the 60s, we kind of... I think there was too much stuff smoked in the 60s. Styling on cars... kind of just, I mean, the best we can do is go retro now. Make it look like the 60s. But the cars, I'm looking at old trucks and old cars from the 30s and the 40s and how beautiful and they flow. The fenders would flow. The body, the hood, everything just worked. And there were lines in them. We don't put lines and stuff anymore. And they didn't do this with plastic. They did it, everything was metal. So that was hard. It's just, and it's gorgeous. That is how God made us. But we, in the name of convenience, have streamlined everything so that we can look purdy on what we think is purdy. Now, those were gorgeous. Cars, I love my truck. But if I were given the option, well, I think a 39 or 40 Chevys or Ford, they were beautiful. The grills. First Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul said this several times. Many writers in the Bible put in there, I do not, Peter said it, I don't want you to be ignorant. Anybody ever been called ignorant? You ignorant little... And every time I go into a Cracker Barrel, I get called an ignoramus because I can never get all the pegs out of that game. But folks, ignorant just means you don't know. Paul was telling the Thessalonians, says, I don't want you to be unknowing. I don't want you to be ignorant. We are not called to be ignorant. We're called to know. So many people have pulled themselves so far away. Listen, we're in the world, but we're not of it. You need to understand that. You don't have to participate in the world, but you need to know what's going on. That's why so many people have, they've been agreeing. I'll give you this little example. When I was a teenager, my dad got one of the guys who was one of the youth leaders in my church a job. Now this guy, the longest job he ever had was flipping burgers in his parents' restaurant. And the restaurant closed down, and he was now without a job, and he just got married. And so my dad was able to get him on as a groundman. In other words, he grabbed a shovel, and he filled in the ditches because they were burying the lines. That's all the kid knew. I call him kid. He was a kid then. It's all he knew. And so one day they're sitting around. He had never gotten out in the world. All of his friends were in the church. He knew things that go on at school, but he never paid attention. And one day he's sitting around and these other guys are talking about some things they've been doing, illicit things, with their girlfriends. And he's sitting there just, yeah. My dad just stared at him. He's like, when they got up and left, he said, "Do you know what they were talking about?" "Well, not really." And my dad explained to him what they were talking about. And my dad said he went white as a ghost. He had no idea what he was agreeing with. I'm not saying, folks, we shouldn't be ignorant to what's going on out there. Things change. Phrases change. Bad. Yeah, that's bad. Well, you know, probably 50 years before that, bad wasn't a good thing. But in my childhood, bad was good. Then it became righteous. Now it's sick. I'm like, okay, I can get bad. I can get righteous. But sick? That means I'm bleh. I don't get it. But so many of the terms have even changed. There was a time when I don't think the devil worshipers actually did it or do it. They call it the goat's head. It became a rock salute. It started in the rock and roll arena. That was it. And no, Gene Simmons did not start it. He claims he did, but he didn't. There's so many things that have changed now. You got to know what you're walking into. These things that we vote on. What are you voting on? Know what that represents. We'll stop right there, but I'll leave you with this. Remember, I talked about the Humane Society of the United States. I remember hearing, first I heard about it was Rush Limbaugh. He got on air and was promoting it. I'm like, I think I heard something negative about that. And I went in there and started reading. They're the ones that don't want you, if you're a farmer, to have animals. If you're a pet owner, you aren't allowed to have a pet. They're to roam free. You talk about a chaotic world. That's their goal, is to set animals free. You know, your cattle will run the road. You know, you think it's bad hitting a deer? Hit a 2,000-pound cow. That deer weighs 300 pounds at the most, usually. But then, so I think somebody had said something to Rush, and he got on there, and he said, whoa, wait a minute. I do not endorse this organization. I was unaware of what they actually stood for. I'm like my father-in-law. I believe in animal welfare, not animal rights. That was something he said years ago. I believe in animal welfare. He takes care of his animals. He makes sure that they're not sick. But yet people, if your animal's sick, you need to take it down and get $5,000 worth of surgery done to it. I won't spend $5,000 to have surgery done to myself. Your animal has a right to air conditioning. I don't have air conditioning. I didn't grow up with air conditioning. My children don't have a right to air conditioning. Ask them. It is not a right. We can't be ignorant of what's going on. Peter said, don't be ignorant of any of his devices. These are things that, devices are traps. Things that would catch us. Well, I'm on board with that. Fat so-and-so's on it. Why don't you pray and ask God what you should be for first? First and foremost, pray and learn about what you're backing. I really like the Law and Order show. And, you know, so I've been watching it. I like mysteries and trying to figure things out. But there's one thing that I've watched, and it's just like, oh, man, I'm like, yes, go get him, Jack McCoy. Get him. And then I'm like, whoa, pull the reins back here, Jose. You are so far off base. The one was, what was it? They were suing a company because they made something and somebody used it in a crime. And then the assistant DA said, so then should we sue gun manufacturers? And he said, I would. I'm like, so if I took this chair and I beat up my sister with it, are you going to go sue the manufacturer of this chair? That's stupid. Just saying. That's what I'm saying. We got to be careful of what the devil, but you know, if people don't know, if you're, I'm going to just hide in my little cave and I'm going to detach from the world. I'm going off grid. You're just as responsible. People want to run from problems. Fix the problem. Be a part of the solution. And that's where I think the church has become a bit of a problem, is it doesn't want to fix the problem. It wants to be a problem. I don't think the church should be in government. I think Christians should be in government. The church has no business in it. You know how I know? Read Rome's history. When the church leaders were ruling, and the only one I've ever studied up on was Borgia. Was it Pope Alexander II? I think he's what he was. One of the most, honestly, what I read and learned about him, he was one of the most perverse men out there. He's the Pope. He ruled. He established who was going to be king. That's how powerful the church became and how corrupt it was. It was all about who could give me more money and estates. That's why the church shouldn't be. The church was never called to be the government. God is the king. How about we live like that? We all equal in the eyes of God. But, you know, like I said, we'll finish up on being, I don't think I'm done with being ignorant. And who knows, maybe next week it'll just be ignorant. Not ignorant, ignorant. That, like I said, and this is just, that was just the first definition of rude. Maybe this, no, it was the second, I'm sorry. The second, I read six to you. That was just the second definition of that. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? As I sat there, God began to show me scriptures for every one of those definitions in the Bible that warns us against being like that. God made you fearfully and wonderfully, folks. You are one of a kind. Not only from just your DNA and your fingerprints, there can be another one just like you. Well, they can clone me. Well, I don't know that they can. See, there's this precious thing in man. It's called the breath of life. It came from God the Father through the Holy Spirit. The breath of life flows in each and every one of us as men. Animals, he called from the dirt, remember? But man, it said he reached down and blew life into him. I don't think they can. But we don't need to be ignorant about it. We need to be paying attention to what's going on and not worrying about what's, and not worrying about it. Yeah, let's stand. I really want to keep going, but I promise you, that was just the second page, and there are eight more. Just on the definition. But the things that God is showing us today, folks, we got to be sensitive to the world outside us. You know, if you've watched the movie The Shack or even read the book The Shack, I love it. It's great. God the Father presented himself to this man as a mother, a woman, because his father had been abusive. The Bible tells us he will be everything to us. So we need to understand, if I'm going to go out and preach to somebody, maybe they don't need me to be a harsh Bible thumper. Maybe they need to be an ear. Maybe they just need an ear and somebody to speak truth with love. But I'll be honest with you, the church doesn't speak truth in love. The church speaks truth in arrogance and authority. I must dominate my authority. Your authority, smority. you ain't willing to fight for it, you ain't got it. That's all there is to it. You don't believe in your authority that much. Or else we wouldn't have. I'm going to say this, and I will end. This is the third closing. We get bent out of shape because they took prayer out of school. Somebody show me where you're supposed to pray in school. Please, somebody. We took prayer out of the home first. We took real prayer out of the church. There are books of canned prayers. If my wife reads to me a stinking Hallmark card, or actually she's the words, if I read my love to her from a Hallmark card every time we're together, how special is she really going to feel? And there's times I don't get her cards. I write her cards. I don't pray a canned prayer. Won't pray a canned prayer. And I went through late reader treating through the Navy. And we had canned prayers. Oh God, our Father, omnipotent. I'm like, I'm certain I understand what that word means. We took prayer out of the house first. How about we put prayer back in the house? Don't get bent out of shape because your kids came in and during your precious prayer time. You interrupted somebody else's prayer time with God when he was talking. He's like, hey, whoa. I'm talking to Susan right now. You just hold your horses. No, he took you in. You broke my flow. If the love of your child broke your flow, you've got a stinking problem. That's all there is to it. But I gotta have an hour. Well, if you do, praise God. But you better go somewhere where your kids can't find you. And I will say this. My doctor cleared me the other day to hunt. I ain't seen anything. But as I sat up there in that tree, or in that stand, I didn't sit in a tree. And I'm not going to lie, there was a big faith move for me because several more trees have blown over. They're widow makers. And I'm saying, okay, I'll walk 10 miles around that tree. Before, I wouldn't have thought about it. And as I'm sitting there in my tree, I've got a nice live cherry tree. I look over to my left, and here's this big old ash tree, this big around that's splitting, and it's right beside me. God, I think that tree needs to come down. But what I missed, is that was some of my best time. There's nothing to distract me. I can talk to God. I can watch his creation. Hunt his creation. Oh. But I get to enjoy that. That is a time that is special. And, you know, you do need that. But if it's interrupted by something, you get bent out of shape, you're forgetting what it was for. Anyhow, that's a whole other subject for another day. All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your love, your unconditional, undying, never-ending, unwavering, unconditional love. Father, people don't realize that those that perished in Sodom and Gomorrah and in the flood, you still loved them. Father, I pray that you help us, each and every one of us, grow in that love. That when people have passed on without knowing you, Father, that it sticks with us. That we could have shared that love with them. That we could have done something. We could have said something. Not to preach, but to show them your love. Father, I thank you that you're moving in the midst of these people here today. Father, those who aren't here today. Father, we pray that you move in their midst as well. Father, we pray right now that many who are dealing with sicknesses, you touch them and heal them right now in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I bless your people. I bless them, Father, in their endeavors as they go to do all for good. Father, and then if their paths lead or going somewhere where they shouldn't be, Father, you shut that door on them. And Lord, I pray blessings on those who are dealing with things. I pray that you settled it in your mind, in their mind, that you are the king and you have all authority. In Jesus' name, amen.